Good morning.
Good morning.
You know, we hear in this upside down kingdom that Christ rules that we are blessed by Him. The amazing thing, as we look more and more at our lives, that we are blessed by Him, oftentimes despite us. When we look at our lives, when we look at maybe the wrongs that we've done or maybe the rights that we've neglected to do, we recognize more and more that the blessing that we receive comes from Christ. And that really is great news. There's a story of a young boy that would go out each day and play ball with the neighborhood kids. All the kids were older, all were stronger. The little boy was a little shorter. He was a little slower. He was a little clumsier. And each day he would walk outside to play, and this little boy would always be the last one picked. He came to expect it. No matter how hard he tried, each day as they would throw the ball, he would be the one to drop it. As they would shoot, he would miss. As they would run, he would fall behind. As they would guard, inevitably his man would be the one to go free. And so the pattern repeated itself as summer went on. As the days grew longer, he would come out later. And he figured there was no use of being there when the teams were just starting to be picked. He only needed to make it for the end. At this point, it was the middle of July, and a warm day meant that all his friends would be out playing. He began to walk across the street. He saw that all the guys were in a huddle on the lawn. They hadn't picked teams yet. As the young boy walked over, his head hung low. He knew he'd just stand there as everyone else got their teams. As each of his friends ran to their sides, met with high fives and fist bumps, till all the others were gone, except him. But as the little boy stepped closer, he heard a call from amidst the huddle. "I pick you, little bro." All the kids spun around. They looked at the young boy. That day, he had been picked first. Not because of talent, not because of ability, but because of love. It's the second story that we hear in the Sermon on the Mount. There are days when we show up just to be on the team. We don't figure that we'll have much to contribute. We don't even know if we're able to help. For the disciples, they came and they saw Jesus just to follow. They were waiting for a Messiah, and they figured that when he got there, he would take care of the blessing. He would take care of the liberation. He would take the reins, and in the end, they would be on the winning team. As they hear the blessings that Christ would bestow upon them, they readily knew that Christ brought blessings that weren't because of them. They weren't because of anything they had done. They knew there wasn't any way that they could act to deserve it. Earlier in Matthew's gospel, we see that Jesus chose for his disciples fishermen instead of Pharisees. For Matthew himself, later on we hear that Jesus chose a tax collector when almost anyone would have seemed like a better choice. Paul knew that, just like the rest of any of the other disciples before him, that before even a call to serve, salvation was in fact by grace through faith, and it's not from yourselves. It's a gift from God, not by works, so that no one can boast. This morning I invite you to take out your Bible. And maybe it's one that you have that you brought with you. Maybe it's the one in the church pew in front of you. Maybe it's an app on your phone. But I invite you to get out God's Word. I invite you to open up to the book of Matthew. And we're going to continue on in the fifth chapter of the book of Matthew. And I want us to focus in on the words that Jesus spoke to his disciples. As you place your finger or as you scroll down to the 13th verse, I want you to grab a pencil, get that highlighter tool ready on your phone. Whatever you got to do, but I want you to pay attention to this upside down idea that Jesus introduces us to here in his message. Matthew chapter 5, I hope you're there. Verse 13, Jesus says, I am the salt of the earth. But if the salt loses its saltiness, how can it be made salty again? It's no longer good for anything, except to be thrown out and trampled underfoot. Jesus said, I am the light of the world. A town built on a hill cannot be hidden, neither do people light a lamp and put it under a bowl. Instead, they put it on its stand and it gives light to everyone in the house. In the same way, Jesus says, I will let my light shine before others, that they may see my good deeds and glorify my Father in heaven. I hope there was something wrong with that. I hope there was something messed up. I want to know, does anybody's Bible say something a little bit different? We got a few following along. That might have been what the disciples wanted him to say that day. It might be what we want him to say. But let's listen to what Jesus really says. In Matthew chapter 5, starting with verse 13, he says, you are the salt of the earth. You are the salt of the earth. But if the salt loses its saltiness, how can it be made salty again? It's no longer good for anything except to be thrown out and trampled underfoot. Jesus says to his disciples, you are the light of the world. A town built on a hill cannot be hidden. Neither do people get a lamp and put it under a bowl. Instead, they put it on its stand and it gives light to everyone in the house. In the same way, let your light shine before others, that they may see your good deeds and glorify your Father in heaven. You are the salt. You are the light. And the disciples, I'm sure they're about ready to say, Jesus, you picked the wrong guy. Jesus, it's not me. Jesus, I know you can do all that. Jesus, I know you got the righteousness. I know you got the perfection. God, Jesus, you have the divinity. And Jesus looks at his disciples and says, you are the salt. You are the light. Would have been hard. Let's just look at the salt. Take for a moment looking at the salt as the disciples say, Jesus, I think I'm seeing your parable here. Jesus, salt intensifies flavor, and yes, Jesus, you've done what you've come to do. You come so that we don't have just life, but we have life to the fullest, Jesus. That's what you've done. Thank you. Praise the Lord. Salt is a preservative. Jesus, yes, you got that. You've come to set us free from death, and you've come to give us eternal life. Jesus, you can do that. And Jesus, we know that salt's a purifier. Jesus, you came down to purify us by your sacrifice on the cross so that we can be made clean. You've done that, and we love you, Jesus. But Jesus, that's not us. Jesus, you got the wrong guy. When we think of light, think of the light of Christ, we see that the fact that Jesus brings clarity, that Jesus brings direction, that he brings illumination, that he brings safety. This is Jesus. But Jesus, when you call me the light of the world, God, you've picked the wrong guy. Many times we look at Jesus' call in our lives and we say, am I really who you want? God, we don't have the talent. We don't have the ability. We don't have the know-how to be the Savior of all humanity, to live a perfect life, to be a perfect sacrifice, to bring supplication in front of the Father as an advocate for all humanity's restoration to righteousness. Many times we don't even understand the words. And yet Jesus calls. He says to his disciples, you are the salt. He says to the ones he loves, you are the light. We're called to an amazing task. We're called to an amazing mission. This phrase, you are the salt, it's like the mind saying to the shaker on the stove, you're the salt. You are the light is more like the sun saying to the moon, you're the light. If we think about it, when Jesus calls us to this, Jesus is calling us to be like on our own, we fall short. Jesus calls us to a job that only he can do. He calls us to do a job that we cannot do on our own. Jesus calls us to a life that must be connected to him. Because the truth is that Jesus fulfills all that we are called to do. We can only be who we're called to be when we're in a relationship with Jesus. That's directly where we're pointed once again. Later on in John chapter 15, Jesus is speaking to his disciples, and he tells them, "You're already clean because of the word I've spoken to you." He says to his disciples, "Remain in me, as I also remain in you. No branch can bear fruit by itself. It must remain in the vine. Neither can you bear fruit unless you remain in me. I am the vine, you are the branches. If you remain in me and I in you, you will bear much fruit." But apart from me, you can do nothing. Jesus continued, if you remain in me and my words remain in you, ask whatever you wish and it will be done for you. This is to my Father's glory that you bear much fruit, showing yourselves to be my disciples. As the Father has loved me, so I have loved you. Now remain in my love. If you keep my commands, you will remain in my love, just as I have kept my Father's commands and remain in his love. Jesus says, I've told you this so that my joy may be in you and that your joy may be made complete. He says, my command is this. Love one another as I have loved you. We are called to be the salt and the light of the world. Not as spectators, but as participants in the work that God is doing. You are chosen. You are loved. You're transformed into a blessing for this world. Jesus calls his disciples later on. Once again, after years have passed, and they find themselves on a familiar situation. Once again, they're out on a hill with Jesus. They had seen some pretty amazing things at this point. They had grown in ways that they would never have imagined. They had run-ins with people they would have never talked to before. They had seen demons come out. They had seen men walk on water. They had seen thousands be fed by just a few scraps. They had seen Jesus die, and 3 days later they had seen him again. And as Jesus is preparing to leave and to pass the torch, to continue to call his disciples to be the salt and the light of the world, and Jesus gives them a commission. Tells his disciples, go. Therefore, into all the world and make disciples of many nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, teaching them to do all that I have commanded to you. He calls them to go and be the light, to go and be the salt, to be those that we've called to be. We have to be connected to the source of life, to the source of light, to the source of our salvation. Jesus ends the commissioning of his disciples in this way. Jesus says, and I will be with you always, to the very end of the age. Jesus calls you. Jesus loved you. Jesus has blessed you. Now go. In connection with him, be the salt. Be the light. Will you pray with me? God, we come to you today and we know that apart from you, we cannot be what we're called to be. but in you we have life. Jesus, in you we have a light to share. God, in you we have a life to the fullest. We have a hope that perseveres through every trial. We have a clarity in the midst of any darkness, and we have a joy that cannot be diminished. God, we thank you that you came down, that you gave your Son, that Jesus, you died on the cross, but that you didn't stay there. God, we celebrate your life. We celebrate the call that you have given us to be your disciples, and that means that we will go out and be the salt and the light. Help us to do that, do just that today and each and every day. Help us to love like you would love. Help us to lead like you would lead. Help us to be men and women transformed by your call. We love you. We thank you. It's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen.